Hey, Choir Nation, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, but please stay tuned after the regular content is over for a very important announcement.
Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a Choir Ninja.
Today's episode is brought to you by SightReadingFactory.com. Do you hate teaching sight singing? Do you have a carbon footprint the size of Sasquatch because you run off endless sheets of sight singing examples only to hear your students groan in agony when it's time to sight sing in rehearsal? SightReadingFactory.com is a web-based tool that will compose custom sight reading examples based on specifications that you choose. Your choir will actually enjoy sight singing, and so will you. Plus, you will get back hours of your life and finally feel like the choir ninja you were destined to be. If that isn't cool enough, you can add student accounts that link directly to your teacher dashboard so your kids can practice or even take recorded assessments from home. As a sponsor of this show, SightReadingFactory.com has an exclusive deal just for you, Choir Nation. When you purchase their insanely affordable one-year subscription, you will unlock 10 free student accounts just for using the promo code NINJA at checkout. That's Ninja, N-I-N-J-A. So head over to SightReadingFactory.com. That's SightReadingFactory.com. And don't forget to use the promo code NINJA at checkout to unlock your 10 student accounts absolutely free.
What's the best part about being a ninja? The gear. It's the nunchucks, the katanas, the throwing stars. It's the same for choir ninjas. The difference between an ordinary and a masterful performance may come down to your most basic and essential piece of equipment, your music folder. My Music Folders creates a superior product, and they do it with a smile. And because they are friends of the podcast, they have a killer deal for you right now. Get the bulk purchase price break without having to buy in bulk. So whether you have to restock your entire classroom or you just need to replace a few folders, you will get the best possible pricing on the best possible product. So like a ninja, sneak on over to mymusicfolders.com and use the code NINJA when you check out.
Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast, and I feel very privileged today to have Anna Dorr with me. She is a patron of the Choir Ninja Podcast and has been for some time, and is also a resident of my former state of New Jersey. So I'm getting, some reminiscent here in my pre-interview conversation with Anna. But I figured I would start the recording and get all the good stuff out here for you now. So Anna, thank you for joining me on the Choir Ninja Podcast.
My pleasure, Ryan. Hey there, Choir Nation.
So Anna, give me just a little background about where you are, what you're doing, and that kind of thing, and then we'll jump into today's topics.
Okay, so I work at an elementary school in Rivervale, New Jersey, and I teach pre-K through fifth grade general music, fourth and fifth grade band and band lessons, and then I am the choir director for third, fourth, and fifth grade students.
Now, this is interesting because you're an elementary school director, and I've never had an elementary school director, like explicitly elementary school, on the podcast. So you're like a first.
I feel
that. And when we set out to do the podcast, I thought that the people that would listen to it would be middle and high school directors. So I'm actually really excited that somebody in the elementary world has benefited from listening.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So what are we talking about today? What was your intention?
So your podcast came into my life at a very crucial point in my teaching. I was feeling just kind of stuck in my own creativity and my own vision. I was feeling stuck in my job and I felt like I could grow all that I could in this current job, but saw no way to a different job. Mm-hmm. And then in came the Choir Ninja podcast. And you just made such a huge difference in my programming, my teaching, just my overall feeling of success in my job. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
That's very nice of you to say, Anna. And I'm glad that we were there for you. And, you know, Stevie and I were able to help you out in the Choir Ninja, you know, the Choir Nation Facebook group as well. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting like a little choked up here. I think it's really, really wonderful to hear that. And, you know, obviously we set out a couple years ago to 3 years ago, actually, back on Sunday was our 3 year anniversary. And I started the podcast because I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I don't know what to do. You know, is it grad school? Is it a new job? Right. Is it, I don't know, fancy new equipment? Do I need to start an iPad orchestra? Like, what do I need to do here in order to make things a little bit more fun and interesting? For me, that really started to hit around like year seven.
Yeah.
Where did that hit for you?
That was year four in my current position, five overall. And, you know, you can see from the amount of things that I teach, it's like quite an overwhelming job just with, you know, seven grades of general music and band and choir and all these things. And my true love is choral music.
Mm-hmm.
My dream job would be middle school or high school choral music, but you take the job that you can get and you do the best job that you can. And, you know, I love my kids and I'm in a good district, but I'm limited by, or I felt limited by, the age of my students and the amount of time I had for rehearsal and for planning, because I only see my choir once a week for 40 minutes. And that's it.
Right, and so you're probably comparing yourself to all the stuff on Facebook and people's accomplishments, and oh, my choir's going to ACDA or whatever. Yeah, and it's like I have a elementary school choir and I have 40 minutes.
Exactly,
something's got to give here. Yeah,
right. And I had these creative ideas of things I might like to do, but I was feeling like I was always taking these ideas that would be more appropriate for middle school or high school kids and then trying to make them work for elementary kids, but I don't have enough time or they're maybe a little too young for that. So mm-hmm. that was my struggle. And, you know, I tried getting new jobs, but it's very competitive and, you know, I wasn't having any luck. So I'm thinking, well, here I am. I can't leave. This is what I have and I have to make the best of it. And that's when I heard one of your episodes, and I can't even remember which one, but it really stuck with me. You were talking about how only you can change your situation. You know, like you can't just sit there in frustration complaining about your situation if you're not willing to put yourself out there and make changes. And I wish I could give you the name of it, but I can't even remember.
Well, I think it probably came from the years of you know, having conversations, hallway conversations with teachers that complained a lot about their position and in their career. And I'm like, well, why are you still doing it? You know,
right.
it's like you're, I don't know if you do you enjoy pain that much.
Right. Exactly.
I decided I'm going to take one of those little alligator paper clips and I'm going to attach it to my eyebrow and I'm going to be like, ow, this really, really hurts, but I'm going to leave it there. You know, I'm not an analogy guy, Anna, obviously, as you can tell, but why would you wake up every morning and do something you hate? Right.
Right. Exactly.
But then again, right now, if some devil's advocate can say, well, this is what I have. This is the job I have. Well, okay, that's fine. But what can you do to make it, you know, the best possible situation?
Well, that's exactly what I took from your podcast is like, okay, I've tried to get a new job and so far no success. I can't move because I have a husband and he has a job here too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here with this job right now. What can I do so that I don't become that teacher that's just, miserable and not changing.
Right.
So that's
it's really easy to get sucked into like teacher misery.
Yeah.
Have you felt like you needed to choose your peers carefully?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think any teacher will tell you that the lunchroom, you know, the teacher's break room can become very toxic mm-hmm. very quickly. So yeah, you have to, especially my first year when I didn't really know anything, I came in, you know, full of hopes and dreams, and I just felt everywhere I turned, people were squashing them. So
yeah. Wow. Yeah. Same experience, Anna. Yeah. I had the same experience. So, I mean, okay. So, you know, the podcast was helpful for you, and it's probably, you know, if you need good gas, maybe turn on the podcast and that kind of thing. What else did you do? What did you do to like, what did you take from it? And, or maybe what did you do aside from the podcast?
So that episode motivated me, number one, to apply for grad school. I'd been going to every music conference that I could, but I just really felt like at this point, I'd been out of college for 5 years. I was kind of feeling stuck in my learning. It's time to go back. So I applied to Montclair State University and got accepted and started that this summer. So that has been great. And, you know, I wasn't...
Are you studying with Heather?
No, I wish. She only teaches during the school day. In fact, the whole reason I looked at Montclair was because I heard Heather on your podcast and I fell in love.
Oh, but, she's great. She is great. Yeah. So you're taking a summer program?
Summers and night classes. So oh, okay. I do basically one or two classes a semester. So Heather only teaches during the school day, though, which is why I can't take her classes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, make sure you introduce yourself sometime. And tell her how much you enjoyed her episode.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. No, she's an awesome person to know, and she'd be great. She's a great resource. So,
yeah.
So grad school, that's a nice way to sort of reignite in your, it's in a situation mm-hmm. It's a state university. So it's probably pretty mm-hmm. cost effective.
Yeah.
I worry about debt, you know, but, it's probably pretty cost effective and it's aside from, it's not interfering with your job. You're able to do something, at night and over the summer. That's wonderful. What else did you do? Oh, do you want to keep going on that?
No, I was just going to say it's made me feel more professionally fulfilled, you know, mm-hmm. so that's been helpful in that way. So the other thing that I did was, kind of up the ante on my concerts. The first change that I made was, you know, I realized my concerts were a bit limited just because of some practical things, like my risers were these metal, rickety, old, I don't know how old, but old risers, and they weren't big enough for the kids that I had. We had, you know, my program had grown over the 5 years I've been there. And so these kids are crammed onto these risers uh-huh. and they don't have room to move. So I wanted to do all this choreography and movement and make it exciting or even just like feel the beat. And the kids are wedged on these risers, you know, like statues, and they didn't have the freedom to move. So that's I think in May I applied for a grant with our education fund in Rivervale. Mm hmm. And I asked for new risers, and I asked for flip forms.
I know those. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like big plastic boxes, and they can be platforms or risers, right?
Yeah. They're very cool. So they work for, you know, the fourth grade play, and they work for the kindergarten stuff, and then they work for me. So
who makes those?
Wenger.
It is Wenger. So you went from the Wenger tetanus edition to flip forms. Okay.
Definite upgrade, especially for teaching elementary kids. They're very kid friendly, and I got 9 of them. So
wow.
I don't actually, in fact, need 9. It turns out, but at least I'm covered for program expansion. So the kids have room to move now, which gave me more freedom in my programming.
That's good. And do you incorporate those? Because I student taught elementary, which was weird for me, but it was cute most of the time until the boogers came out. We actually use those for places for the kids to sit in class, in general music class. Do you actually use those in your classroom?
So I actually am fortunate in that in my classroom, I have steps built in.
Oh.
So kind of built-in risers. But otherwise, if I didn't, I totally would.
Okay.
They're really versatile.
Okay, so this little grant for new risers ends up, like, I mean, was this like a, were the risers like a force multiplier for you? Like, is this something that like opened up the floodgates for creativity?
Well, that did, and actually Stevie's episode on called Sell Out Your Concerts, between those two things, I changed a lot in my programming. I was just really inspired by, you know, all the ideas and different elements that Stevie would pull into her concerts, just to make them more engaging and entertaining and visually appealing or educational, and I just thought that was really inspiring. So this summer, I holed up at a Starbucks for a few hours and just started brainstorming things about like what makes my choir unique, which is something that you guys have talked about on the podcast. What are we good at? What, you know, is kind of my drive in planning my concerts and in teaching these choir kids. And what I came out with was the fact that I choose my music partly based on musical characteristics and things I want my kids to learn, and partly on character education. I realized that I choose music based on, because I want my students to sing about things that will positively impact either their lives or the world. So I decided, based on Stevie's ideas, to theme my concert. And the theme I chose was History Has Its Eyes on You, because I love Hamilton and it was in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the general idea was to look at characters from theater, literature, history, and who maybe had to face challenges with courage or stand up for their rights or the rights of other people and make a difference in the world. And then kind of to flip that perspective back on the kids, and then how can you make a difference in the world? So we do usually four songs in a concert. And so we did Journey to the Past from Anastasia, Seize the Day from the Newsies, My Shot from Hamilton, and I Was Here by Lady Antebellum. So the first three songs were more of, you know, looking at different characters, and we really looked at those characters. I showed them the movie Newsies, and we talked about, you know, hard choices that they had to make, how they had to stand up for their rights, and then brought it home with the last song, I Was Here. So, which talks about making a difference in the world and like leaving your mark on the world.
Now that's, I mean, this is all very creative, and it sounds like so you have four major pieces in the concert. What did you do to fill it? Did you fill in the gaps to make it longer? I mean, or how did you I'm thinking you probably added some more stuff.
Well, so I have a combined band and choir concert. So all together, it's about 45 minutes to an hour, band, and then choir. But I did add in some extra elements as per, you know, the episode with Stevie. So one thing that I did was add some narrators. My kids did little narrations in between, which was a win for two reasons. One, they're adorable and the audience loved it. And two, I didn't have to talk.
Are you not somebody that likes talking in front of large audiences?
My principal laughs at me for this because she thinks I'm great at it, but no, I'm always very nervous.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. So you're able to, now, was the band tied in somehow to this theme, or is it only the choir portion?
Just the choir so far. That's my next goal, is to get the band roped into the theme. Haven't achieved that yet. So,
well, that'd be great. Yeah. I mean, that's
considered getting rid of hot cross buns, the win for this concert. So
yeah, back in Marlboro when I was there, it was, every kid every kid could come. I think the only thing they knew how to play by the time they got to sixth grade was Let's Go Band.
Yep. Yeah, of course.
So, you know, no matter the skill level, they all knew Let's Go Band. So, yeah. No, I forgot what elementary school band is all about. And you know what? In New Jersey, it starts late. Like, I mean, in Marlboro, we didn't actually start until sixth grade.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And it was like a stretch to get fourth. Like, I think we actually had to, like, pass some type of resolution at the board to get fourth grade.
Wow,
and an orchestra didn't start till sixth.
Seriously?
And so I remember when I was in elementary school, and I was about to say how important elementary school is, we started third grade in orchestra and in fourth grade in band.
Yeah.
But I remember more vividly elementary school general music than I do any part of my musical career through 12th grade. I mean, I had Mrs. Barrows. Yeah. She was amazing. I remember all the songs we did. I remember the recorder unit. You know, I remember all this stuff. It's like almost like vividly. So it's so cool because it's such a huge impressionable part of a young child's, you know, developing music education.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, I mean, so you experimented now with, you know, kind of going down I hate to use the word theme because everybody scoffs at the word theme, but you know, finding a through line in your concert programming. I feel like academic people like to hear that word, those words more than theme, you know,
but,
so you've done that a few times at this point then, or?
So really just my winter concert this year, that was the first time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm partway through planning, you know, working towards my spring concert, which I'm also, that'll be my second concert theming. So that's pretty new just for this year.
So how were they received?
It was very, very well received. The parents loved it. Great parent feedback. In fact, after this one, they were especially excited about Hamilton, but, the parents kept coming up to me telling me, you know, you should really charge admission for these concerts. They're amazing.
Wow.
We need more seats. You know, it was standing room only.
You should charge admission. That is great.
From elementary parents. Yeah.
I can't think of anything I'd rather hear less than elementary band, you know, but well, no, I think elementary orchestra. I think I probably want to hear that less.
Fair point.
But no, that's, I mean, if you're getting that kind of feedback, that's awesome. That's really awesome. And just imagine what that can become when you try to pull the band into the loop.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and my administration loved it too because of the greater character education that went, you know, beyond the music and the fact that I took risks, you know, because they know Hamilton. They know, you know, that elementary kids, maybe that's a big challenge for them to be rapping and to be rapping that quickly. And so my superintendent was so impressed. He took a video and was showing people. And, you know, we have these.
The superintendent was there at the concert?
Yeah. We have a small district, two elementary schools and a middle school. And usually the superintendent will come for part of one concert, and then my sister school, he'll go to my sister school for half of their concert. But my principal told him he didn't want to miss this one, so he came for the whole concert and was floored. So that was really cool.
That's awesome. And did you sort of send invites out, or did you do any little PR for this in order for him to know how important this concert was going to be?
Not officially. I had been communicating to my principal and kept her in the loop with all of the changes that I was making. And she was getting so excited about it. You know, she mentioned she was going to say something to the superintendent. And I said, you know, could you just make sure if he comes for half the show that he comes for the choral half? Because that's the part I really want him to hear.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's great. Good for you. That's awesome.
Cool. It's really cool.
So you have great feedback from audience, from parents, from the superintendent, from administrators. Mm-hmm. How did the kids feel?
They loved it. They got really pumped up about Hamilton. But just the theme in general, I think, made them more expressive, because, you know, we talked so much about storytelling and how to be a storyteller as a singer. And we talked so much about the different characters that when they got up on stage, I saw more engagement and expression and even movement than I've ever seen from them before. And when we did Hamilton, I thought my arm was going to fall off from just like how excited I was getting. And they just went crazy in the best of ways. I had printed up these, I have signs that I use to remind them during the concert, of certain things. So I have one that says "Sing to Grandma." So they project to the back of the room, you know.
Okay.
And I have one that says "Don't be a robot" to remind, you know, because sometimes they get very robotic when they sing. And I didn't even need to use it because they were so into the music. It was awesome.
That's really, really great. So Anna, so what would you like to say to Choir Nation? What kind of advice would you give, you know, based on this whole experience, listening to the show and making changes in your program and going to grad school and the whole thing?
I would just say, don't be afraid to take risks and just step out there and make changes. You know, I was feeling so limited by all of these external things that I thought I couldn't change, but really I think I was only limiting myself. You know, I had to make some sacrifices, but you know, I made it work. I had to plan a lot in the summer, and I ate lunch with kids while we rehearsed, because elementary kids take a lot more rehearsal time than I had. But I was able to pull it off because I was willing to put in the work and take the risks to make it happen. So that's just what I would say, is don't feel limited by your circumstances. Step out and make a change.
That's wonderful. That's great. And I'm very proud of you. I think it's really awesome. Thank you. Anna, it's just like such a great success story to hear. Like I was telling you, before I started, recording this episode, you know, I sit in a room with a microphone and I can't see my audience. And so whatever people decide to do with the information they get from my guests or Stevie or myself, it's totally up to them. And, yeah. You know, the podcast is, like I was saying, the podcast is evergreen. It will, you know, always be there to, you know, to go back and listen to all the episodes again and again, as long as people want to. If they need to be refreshed or they need some good mojo for the day, they can go back and listen to anything, you know. So, especially the stuff that you referenced in this episode. So, Anna, I appreciate you being on the show, and I thank you, and Choir Nation thanks you for sharing your experience with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And as I used to say on the Find Your Forte podcast, you have definitely helped us step up to the podium with purpose today. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Choir Nation, I promised a important announcement after today's episode, but first I do want to thank sheetmusicdeals.com. Of course, sheetmusicdeals.com is a sponsor of the Choir Ninja podcast, and I cannot thank them enough. They've just been here for the last month or so, but in that last month, I've just learned what really makes them special. Sheet Music Deals can be looked at more like a sheet music concierge more than a company just to get a good price on your music. I would recommend reaching out to them. They can get music from any publisher, any independent composer who self-publishes. They can corral all of the pieces of your programming puzzle and get it to you quickly and efficiently and at a great price. So if you have any interest in checking out Sheet Music Deals, my recommendation would be to not just go on their website, but to give them a call and see what they can do for you. You will notice that they have a white glove level of service. You will not be disappointed. So make sure you either use the promo code Ninja or mention the promo code Ninja when you speak with them. And they can do anything from choral music to piano to band to orchestra. They can do anything. So give them a call. Let them know Ryan sent you. All right, now for my announcement. This is difficult for me just because of the sheer level of blood, sweat, and tears that I've put into Choir Ninja over the past 3 years. And the three-year anniversary was just a couple days ago. Didn't make a big deal out of it, but I figured I could talk about it with you on today's show. I've decided that after 3 years that I'm going to be putting away the microphone and hanging up my headphones. And that comes kind of bittersweet for me. We're really ending on a high note here with April being the last month of the Choir Ninja podcast. I mean, things are going very, very well. But of course, many of you know that my full-time job is not in choral music. I'm actually a financial advisor. And I was recently given a practice of my own. And I love helping people regardless of the medium. And my practice is, growing and thriving and becoming a very time-consuming part of my schedule. But it's helping people. And that's what I've set out to do since the beginning. And so the medium is changing a little bit, and I need to switch gears to a new group of people to help, because I have a lot of people not only at my company Edward Jones, but individual people who have invested in me, and I owe it to them to give them my all, and that's what I'm going to do. And so I wanted to be able to, speak with you all, Choir Nation, about this over the next three episodes. So the next three episodes are going to be really a debriefing of what we've done in the last 3 years, and what are some of the takeaways, what are some of the things that make great choir directors great, what are some of the things that I've learned, and we're going to go through mountaintop moments and my blunders, and really just break those things down in a vulnerable way, so that you, Choir Nation, can get the most out of it. I'm not going away yet. I got three more episodes, but I will miss the ever loving doo doo out of you guys and gals, and I was just so thrilled to be able to spend the last 3 years with you. And helping you out, and I've really had my faith restored in the choral community. As you heard earlier, I was in a funky part of my career where I'm like, what next, what now? And I just wanted to hear stories of successful directors, and was able to talk to well over 100 individuals, and 225 episodes so far, and over 8.7 million minutes of consumed podcast by Choir Nation. If you take all the listens and all of the hours of audio, the individual listens produced over 8.7 million minutes of consumed audio. And that's pretty awesome. And, I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of Choir Nation. I'm proud of the people that have stepped up and taken risks in their program, and that have listened to the words of many of our great guests and been inspired. I've been inspired by just the stories of folks in Choir Nation who came in struggling but left feeling more confident. So I feel good about this, and I know that this is, we're ending at a great place. We're ending before I burn out, because my career is really demanding, and I wanted just to make sure that I didn't I ended where I wanted to end, not because I felt like I needed to stop. So, yeah. So I thank you for listening, Choir Nation, and please stick with me for the next three episodes because I really want to make them worthwhile for you. You're always welcome to hang out in the Choir Nation Facebook group. That group will continue. It'll stay a nicely moderated Facebook group like it is, and we'll keep up the culture in there. But as for the podcast, it's the only thing that is really going away. So I'm still here. Stevie's still here. We're both alive. We're both well. The Choir Nation Facebook group is still going to be there for you all as well. So I wish you all the best, and stick with me for the last three episodes. Thank you.
Choir Ninja.